everybody. It's Chuck and Stacy from VO Buzz Weekly.
And you are listening to Geek. One more.
Hello, nerds. This is Jesse from Rock Sugar, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Keep it right here.
It's all kinds of crazy. So this thing is working. It is functioning properly.
Oh, good.
When our world is threatened, when we need a hero, only one secret agent fits the bill. Phineas and Ferb across the second dimension.
Check it out.
Welcome to an alternate universe.
Let's go find us.
Where everything seems the same.
We're you guys from another dimension.
Are there four of you in this room?
Five, counting Harry.
But is completely different.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Dr. D, you're famous here.
Ah, you know, I can't help but notice that your scar goes over your eye patch.
Yeah. Nothing.
When evil takes on a whole new dimension.
Tremble before me! Now, I'm down here. I'm in the sleeve.
Phineas and Ferb. And Phineas and Ferb?
Can we do that?
No, keep your head down.
Join the resistance.
Let's go!
Yes, sir!
To defend the tri-state area.
Now this is what I call busting.
See Phineas, Ferb, Perry,
ow!
Candace.
Hey, is that me? I look good.
And the whole gang from Danville in an adventure so big, one dimension isn't enough.
Time to start the invasion!
There's robots all over the tri-state area.
It's okay, it's a rental.
Whoa.
Phineas and Ferb Across the Second Dimension, the Disney Channel original movie, premieres Friday, August 5th at 8, 7 Central on Disney Channel.
Hello and welcome to episode 67 of Palco, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, Steve, Joe, and Mike. Joining me, as always, Pecan Carmichael. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. And today we get to the, well, at least at this point for us, the biggest thing in the Phineas and Ferb franchise. It is Phineas and Ferb, the movie, Across the Second Dimension. This thing is 9 years old. This thing is half the age of your teenager.
Exactly. I listened to the original recording of our review, and I didn't realize it was 9 years ago.
Oh, yes.
And we had reviewed it, and I said, oh, I watched this with my five-year-old son. And he's 14 now. I'm old. It's funny, if we had drugged this out another year, it would have been 10 years.
And yeah, I know, right?
A solid decade. It would have been almost vintage.
Mm-hmm. Almost.
Practically,
yes. And, Across the Second Dimension. Man, this movie, wow. This is the Phineas and Ferb version of what Transformers the movie is to Transformers.
Arguably, yeah.
There's no arguing about it.
Well, they didn't kill anybody in it. I mean,
well,
you know, it's not like, you know, Phineas and Ferb die and turn gray and make you cry and scar you for life as a small child.
I mean, you know, Perry the Platypore could have turned gray after his popcorn chickening.
I was pretty sure he was dead. But we are getting ahead of ourselves.
Just a little extra crispy. God, no, I want popcorn chicken from KFC. Damn it. Damn you, Mario Lopez, and your 19-minute stupid thing on Lifetime.
Anyway. Oh my God, you watched that?
I have it on the DVR. I don't know if I'm going to watch it or not. I don't know. I have this weird thing since, you know, whenever, whatever, since the Colonel had passed away.
Yeah.
He was doing the original advertisements for his own thing. I used to love those all the time. So I'm like, oh, they brought out Colonel Sanders impersonators like Norm MacDonald and Jim Gaffigan and all these other people. And I'm like, I have to watch like every... Yeah, they are. I have to watch like every one of those. And I'm like, Mario Lopez as a Lifetime version of Colonel Sanders? What the... Okay, I guess I'll watch Slater from Saved by the Bell be a colonel. I don't know.
Jeez, oh, Pete's. I am actually interested now that I know it's only 19 minutes. If I thought it was like an hour and a half of Mario Lopez, I'd be like, no thanks.
I thought it was too, and then Karen was like, you know, that's only 19 minutes, right? And I'm like, really? Now I'm kind of disappointed. It's only 19 exactly. minutes. Like, really? Like,
think of all the plot points they're going to miss because it's not 2 hours long.
That's a YouTube video. I could just go to Lifetime's YouTube channel and watch it. Why the hell did I put it on my DVR? Like, I mean, that's 19 minutes of a 30-minute show later I could watch. Yeah, I was severely disappointed at the... I haven't even watched the damn thing, but I just assumed it was traditional Lifetime, Hallmark, whatever, length of a movie. And I'm like, okay. And then she told me, and I'm like, really? 19 minutes? Did something not get recorded? Because I set it up ahead of time, and I'm like, there's no way this couldn't have gotten recorded the right way. Because sometimes if you record stuff, if you start it in the middle, if you hit the record button in the middle, it won't pick up.
Gets so much. Yeah.
So, anyway, we're here to talk about something that isn't on my DVR, but it is in Disney Plus. Yay!
Verb, I'm having a hard time putting a positive spin on this. I guess that's life, huh? One minute you're having the best day ever, the next you're being fed to a monster the size of a two-car garage.
Yeah, well, welcome to my life.
And everything started out so well this morning.
Phineas and Ferb, across the second dimension. When Phineas, Ferb, and Perry follow Dr. Doofenshmirtz through his other dimensionator, they find themselves in an alternate universe where a second, truly evil Dr. Doof rules over his tri-state area with an army of Normbots. To save his friends from certain doom, Perry has no choice but to make the ultimate sacrifice in revealing his secret identity as Agent P. Phineas and Ferb escape, meet their second dimension selves, and begin their own mission to rescue Perry. This movie.
Ferb, this one's looking at both of us at the same time.
Aww.
That thing? You're kidding, right?
Is there something I could do for you?
Yes. We'd like that one, please.
You'd like to adopt a platypus.
Oh, is that what it is? Well, yes. May we have him, please?
Okay.
What would you even name a platypus?
Of course, Ferb and I knew exactly what to call you. Bartholomew. And then when we got you home, we renamed you Perry and gave you this locket. Look how young we all were.
It's a magnum opus.
Yes. It really
is. It's a good movie. Surprisingly good.
I mean, just like the main theme song that they put out with this, with Axl from Guns N' Roses, or not Axl, from Slash, with Slash.
Slash.
From Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
Gotta get that right, folks. Slash from Guns N' Roses, and I'm like, they kicked it up a notch.
If you're looking for fun,
because they really did. This thing is so good.
Right. I think we were, you know, kind of worried that it was going to be, you know, just like three or four regular episodes all kind of strung together.
Right.
But no, this is a full-fledged movie. There's a beginning and middle and end.
Well, originally we thought this was going to be a live-action thing, and they're supposed to be a live-action adaptation. I hope they never do it either. But it's like, you know, I don't know. Just yeah. But when they first were talking about this, I was like, oh, it's going to be in theaters. It's going to, you know, like I said earlier, it's going to be the Transformers the movie of Phineas and Ferb.
Mm.
And this flow, like, this has four acts in it, and it flows so well between the acts. So good.
It's very well written. And the songs are really good.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they how should I put it? In some of the episodes, the songs are underwhelming.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes it's like, they just wrote this in 5 minutes, didn't they? They just checked it real quick to make sure that it rhymed and said, yeah, we can animate this. But the songs from this movie, they are all actually really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even some that are not really songs, it's like, I don't know, Victory Gum. Victory Gum!
Yeah. Yeah,
I like that. That's stuck in my head forever now.
Yeah. So since we're talking about the songs, the one thing, because I haven't seen this in so long, and obviously I saw it before we recorded this. The one thing that always bugged me about the movie is, it's kind of a running gag now for me, and I don't know why, but a lot of things with Candace bug me a lot in some of her stick-to-itiveness that she has. Mm-hmm. And the mysterious force that she believes in. And I get it. She's growing up. I get it. In the film, she's like, oh, I'm the young adult now. I'm a young, quote, adult, quote. I don't need to go to my mom to bust my brothers. I can bust my brothers myself.
Exactly.
This must be some mysterious force. Well, Mysterious Force is a song on the soundtrack, but it was cut from the movie. I'm actually glad. I like the song on the soundtrack, but I'm actually glad it was cut from the movie itself.
That makes me giggle. Somebody actually sang that to us once.
Yep.
And yeah, I might have to go back and listen to that again on the soundtrack now that we have. You know, it's funny, when we recorded this the first time, we didn't have Disney Plus, we didn't have Amazon Music, and now I turn around and talk to She Who Will Not Be Named and say, "Play, you know, Mysterious Force for me," and it happens.
Mm-hmm. Alexa, play Mysterious Force.
She can't hear you.
That's right, because you have headphones on.
But we then don't again, speak her name. Yeah, we
then
don't.
Then again, it doesn't matter if she can hear you or not, because everything has a microphone in this world. So
everything.
It's like everything.
Exactly.
Like people out, you know, like, I remember when I told you originally, I record everything. You're like, you do? And I'm like, you have no idea how many years and hours upon hours of blackmail audio I have on everybody I've ever talked to. And it's the same thing with the world and the internet and the whatever and yeah.
I think a She Who Will Not Be Named is the mysterious force. So
that's yeah probably true. again, continuing on since we're talking about the songs, Brand New Best Friend with the double Doofenshmirtz.
Oh my gosh,
love that! Absolutely
that gets
love
stuck
that.
In your head.
Yep.
Do I know you? Yeah, I'm you from another dimension. Well, that would explain the handsomeness. Right back at you, big guy. Does that mean you and I are exactly alike? I suppose so.
Do you want some rice pudding?
No, that's gross.
It was a test. Almond brittle.
Ooh, I love it the most.
Me too.
Do you collect coins?
Yeah,
just in case.
Vending machines become the dominant race.
I've been alone all these years.
With my irrational fears.
But not the vending machine thing. That's gonna happen.
But now before me I see someone with whom I agree. I found a brand new best friend, and it's me. I found a brand new best friend, and it's me.
I thought I'd be taller.
I've been told I slouch.
I thought I'd have both my eyes, you know.
It's in this pouch.
Ouch! You know, I can't help but notice that your scar goes over your eye patch.
Yeah?
Nothing. Do llamas weird you out?
Are they camels or sheep?
No, I meant Lorenzo.
Oh, that's right.
He played Meep. Now I know all about you. And you know all about me.
Ooh-wee-oo.
And now before me I see someone with whom I agree. I found a brand new best friend, and it's me. I found a brand new best friend, and it's me. Now that I found you, we can be a duo.
That's right,
twice the evil, double Gubeshmirtz, coming at you Fridays.
What's that? Are we doing a TV show together?
Oh, no, it just sort of sounded like... I mean, we could. We should.
Maybe we're not so much alike. That can be your catchphrase. You're the grumpy one.
Oh, man, I was singing that for days after I watched it again. Yeah, it's stuck in my head now. Stop it. Get it out.
Double Doofenshmirtz coming at you Fridays. Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope everyone has a great holiday season, even though the holidays have been 2020 this year.
That's why I'm the grumpy one.
Yes, you are. let's see. Like you mentioned, Victory Gum!
I'm still looking for my rare and elusive Nietzsche card.
Yeah. I didn't notice the Doofenpuss theme is in here, but it is. It's not on the soundtrack, obviously. Let's see. Brand New Reality. I love Brand New Reality when they're hopping through all the dimensions. Oh, I love that song.
Stop for a snack. If you do, then I hope you get back.
I guess I'll see you
hopping clockwise through dimensions is a dangerous thing, but it seems to help a lot if we sing.
And we can sing about a brand new reality, a brand new reality, a brand new reality.
I guess I'll see you.
A brand new reality, a brand new reality, a brand.
All right, how about two Kafkas for your Dostoevsky?
Stop wasting my time, Buford.
Wait, I think this is it.
Where have you guys been?
This is it.
I spy with my one little eye a new tri-state area that's one dictator short of a dictatorship.
And then everybody needs Love Handle in their movie, so everybody needs Love Handle at their robot riot. So musical accompaniment, continue.
Everyone, let's kick some robot chassis!
Yeah! Yeah!
Hey, that is good!
Phineas, anything we can do?
Yeah, musical accompaniment.
Wanna kick some robot chassis? So you better tell the robot nation to say a robot prayer, cause you better prepare for an automaton annihilation. You think you're gonna take us down? Washing machine. This is a robot ride. I'm gonna rip you up. I'm gonna break you down. I'm gonna take you to the job downtown. You know that you'll be dreading this Android Armageddon. I think you better check it through. It's cause I know you're sweating. You know you're gonna lose and sing the robot blues. You'll blow a fuse and take a robot snooze. I'll put the activation because I kinda hate you. Don't wanna beat around the bushes cause the robot ride.
Robot ride.
Oh man, it's on. This is a robot ride. I'm gonna pick you up.
do something about that portal. Burp, we're gonna go try to close the portal.
Hey, is that Love Handle?
At my invasion? Really? Of course no, it's Love Handle. Soup.
No, I honestly expected Bowling for Soup to show up because they kind of drag out all the characters. Not just all the inventions from the last season or two, but almost all the characters make an appearance.
Right.
But no Bowling for Soup.
It's okay. They needed to kick it up a notch for this, and Slash is way cooler than Bowling for Soup, apparently.
It's more recognizable. Yeah. Robot Riot.
I love Robot Riot.
Great song. It's dangerously close to metal.
Yeah.
Looking at, like, heavy pop here. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, and honestly, you get the Slash in the credits, and
oh, yeah.
I think that's metal, you know? He can't help but total metal. It's amazing. Yeah. He is a master of his art.
Yep.
Christy and I saw him a couple of years ago, or saw Guns N' Roses a couple of years ago. And, you know, Axl can't quite get those high notes anymore, but Slash is amazing.
Yes.
It was just, like, incredible to watch him do what he does.
I love how this movie starts, where it starts at, like, this opening cliffhanger thing, and then it goes earlier that day, and it opens, and it has the title card, it has the little title card, and then at the bottom of it, it flashes over, kind of like the old in-stereo flashes used to do on TV, in fabulous 2D. I'm like, that's
fabulous.
The best animation ever. Yes, fabulous 2D. All right, what did you like about this one, about this giant movie that we have here?
Seriously, what is there not to like?
I know, right?
The way to wake up. This is gonna be the best day ever.
We consider every day a plus to spend it with the platypus. We're always so ecstatic, cause he's semi-aquatic. Our ornithorhynchus anatinus brings smiles to the both of us. Life's never fuddy-duddy with my wet-footed buddy.
When we're brushing our teeth,
ooh,
it's better tying our shoes.
Oh, yeah. Like we're a cheese sandwich and he's the cheddar.
Licking our eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It's better. Breathing in and out.
So much better.
Sitting in a chair.
It's better.
And taking a bath. It's a little bit better.
Every day is such a dream. We started with the model dream. He's got the head. He's beaver tail and hairy.
You know that he's hairy.
Everything's better with Perry.
Everything's better with Perry.
Everything's better with
everything's better with you.
There's an obvious Jackson 5 reference in the beginning.
Yeah.
Everything's better with Perry I didn't get like a Motown vibe from it, but they do show the boys like dancing in formation in Jackson 5 clothes. Mm-hmm. And the backgrounds are very, you know, I don't want to say psychedelic, but you know, you're getting that 60s vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Awesome song, and kind of a weird reference there, but it started off on a very upbeat note.
Yeah, it did. And that's the way you want it to start, is on an upbeat note. I don't think they would want it to start on a non-upbeat note.
Well,
I mean,
technically they did, because in the first 5 minutes you think they're going to die.
Well, true. And then, you know.
You go from "we're being executed, doom, doom, this way," you know, to to "everything's better with Perry." And they're waking up and they're having fun with Perry, and it's fantastic.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then you lead directly into... the boys running into Doofenshmirtz. You know, they meet him, and they agree to help him with the Zenator, and when Perry shows up, what's he going to do?
he's going to pee on the couch intentionally, of course. That's the one thing platypuses can do. Because apparently they don't do much of anything else. Yeah,
they do pee on your couch.
Yeah.
That was a conscious decision. You peed on my couch. That might be the best line. I mean, there's a lot of good lines in the movie.
There's so many good lines, we can't even quote them all. but I do remember back when this did the San Diego Comic-Con run, and Dan and Swampy and the cast did a panel, and they were talking about Phineas's anger, about being lied to or being, you know, having to seek all of that. Oh, man, I dig it. I dig where they took Phineas with this, because normally Phineas is that always so positive guy, and he's coming to the realization, like, you could have been cleaning up your litter box this entire time.
This entire time. If I found out my cat was a secret agent, I would be really mad, because this is like, you know, year 19 of cleaning up his poop. I'm tired of that. Yeah, no, I agree. I think this is the first time we've actually seen... Phineas be anything except obliviously cheerful.
Yeah. And it's good, because it's also, you know, it shows that he is multifaceted, even though he's mostly positive. You know, he does get let down at certain points. And
he's pretty upset at this point, and it really causes a rift between the boys and Perry.
Yep.
Because even, you know, there was that sad scene with the violin music where Perry has to walk down the street in the rain. He's kind of looking back like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, oh, you're a secret agent, but you can't get out of this skull and crossbones. Really? Really?
You know what I didn't mention? It's summer. When we were talking about the music, and that's a fantastic song, too.
Yeah, It's Summer is a really good song, too, yeah.
That song, I mean, they played and played and played and played it on Disney Channel, but, you know, and again, before Disney Plus, and I had small children, and we did nothing but watch Disney Channel all the time, so I heard this song a lot, but it's a fantastic song. And honestly, it could have gone, like, top 10 with a little workshopping.
True.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I love how Perry has a locket. I'm like, oh, that's cool. He has a collar, he has a locket, or he has whatever.
Yeah.
And he's got his baby picture and their younger self pictures. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Didn't expect that to come back and help them.
I thought it was a Batman reference.
I mean, when you unfold it, it kind of is, yes.
Yeah,
especially since they only actually use one layer entrance, and that's the one in the living room wall. So it kind of is a Batman reference without the bookcase and without the giant Shakespeare statue.
Yeah.
So.
The giant Shakespeare statue.
If Shakespeare was a norm head.
That's funny. Alternate universe Candace is a badass.
She's a badass.
Yeah, yep. She's a bad. She just, you know, I mean, when she's not having allergic reactions to topiaries.
Yeah.
Even though she sounds like a badass.
Oh, of course she does. Yep.
That's right. I ain't got time to bleed.
You know? That's right.
She's just awesome. But and she causes emotional responses wherever she goes, mostly in Buford.
Yeah, that was... And then Isabella's like, what'd you say? Like, there's some sort of something with Isabella or something, and I'm like, wait, what, really? Buford and Candace, and then Buford and Isabella? Wow, Buford Second Dimension Buford's a pimp.
Getting around. Getting around. He says, I am so in love with her right now. What? Nothing?
Nothing. Between her and the nachos. He wants the nachos and he wants the Candace.
And honestly, what more do you need in life?
Yeah. True.
Go ahead. Tell me what is best in life. Nachos and Candace. Alternate universe Candace, because she's not nearly as annoying.
Yes.
But she has no use for Jeremy.
Apparently not.
Surprising. I mean, especially when he comes to the rescuer, and they have the only Star Wars reference in the show.
Yeah.
That was so Star Wars. They didn't call it out, though. And they they missed out on the obvious line of... Oh, come on, you know it. I thought you were going to chime in.
I don't remember.
Aren't you a little short to be a rebel agent?
Oh, but he's taller than she... Well, he's not taller than she is, but he's not... I don't know. He's not
maybe
as short as...
the right height to be a rebel agent.
That's the thing. He is probably the right height.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected. But he comes into the cell, you know, and
yep.
I'm Jeremy Johnson, and I'm here to rescue you. And she's kind of like got the Princess Leia pose, and she doesn't say it.
It's okay.
it's not an unforgivable affront, but, you know, it was a little surprising. That was some low-hanging fruit right there.
Yeah.
During the song, Brand New Reality, when they're,
mm-hmm.
when they're you know, traversing backwards through all the realities. Oh, that's the other song that stuck in my head.
Brand New Reality, yeah.
No, not Brand New Reality. The Paljeet song. When traveling backwards through multiple realities, or backwards makes it easy. I can't do the high note.
Yeah, no, I...
But going forward would tear a hole in the space-time dimension. Brand New Reality. Did anybody make a list of the dimensions that they went through? Because there was like, a dozen?
Yeah.
And a lot of them were cool. I mean, like, Babyhead Reality and...
Yep.
Kevin, not the zebra reality.
Yeah.
His name isn't Kevin. I want to call him Kevin. That's not his name.
Yeah.
But there was a long list of alternate realities, ultimate dimensions there that I didn't care to write down. I'm just too lazy. I don't want your pamphlet.
Does anybody keep those? I told you, sir. I tried to warn you.
So I was talking with my son about this because when I went to watch this, I actually sat down with my family and said, "We are going to watch Phineas and Ferb across the second dimension," and they're all like, "Seriously? Cool. Okay." So we sat down over dinner and watched the movie together as a family. You know, and my son Aiden, who was 5, remember? Mm-hmm. And when we did this before, he said, it's nice to watch this when you're older so that you get all the jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I didn't realize how much of this is going to go over your head if you're 5.
True.
Yeah, but no, he really enjoyed it. And we got some amazing surround sound speakers now. And, you know, on a production note, they did a really amazing job of having certain sounds come from your right and your left and from behind you. It was a very enjoyable experience.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love this thing. It's so cool. You asked about a list, and I'm looking. And
now you're looking.
Like, I can't find it.
I'm paying attention to you, voice.
No, I'm paying attention to you. Mom, he's not paying attention to me. Oh, I'm paying attention to you. I'm trying to find your answer.
Mom, Blanchard is staring at Wikipedia again.
Yeah, I don't think so. So far, I did not...
The wiki is gonna tell it all.
So far, I have not found it in the movie.
You can find it.
Article,
it's in there.
I'm sure it is. Is there anything we didn't like about this? I mean, besides me and my anti-Candace things at times when she goes too overboard.
She could be a little annoying, but I mean, I don't think that is a strike against the show. I'm trying to think, is there something about the show that I didn't like? I mean, we got plenty of Norm.
Oh, we maybe got tons of Norm.
Maybe that's, I think, I normally like Norm a lot, but now they've got Norm with a battle mask mode, where his head disappears and there's a mask there, and he changes voice and it's no longer Norm, it's a Norm bot, and or it's like a guard bot or something, mm-hmm. and it's like, no, I just want to hear Norm. I mean, even if it's menacing and cruel, you know, I want to hear Norm say it, because Norm could read the phone book and I'd be happy. He's got a cool voice.
Yes, he does. Yes.
But what else? I can't think of anything else I didn't like. Maybe, just maybe, there might have been one or two missing inventions, contraptions that they built.
Yeah.
And maybe at one point in time I may have noticed that and thought, well, why wasn't that in there? And but I can't remember any of those, so I guess that doesn't count now.
Mm-hmm. John Wiener is Norm's voice actor. However, the Norm boss, the robotic voice, the man, the myth, the legend, Kevin Michael Richardson.
I was gonna say Kevin Michael Richardson, but if I was wrong, I'd feel dumb. But but he's also awesome in everything he does.
Very true.
Pretty amazing. I heard a podcast once of him doing a Darth Vader, and I was like, oh my god, just put him in everything.
Yep.
That man can do no wrong.
That's right. Did you know the late, great Doris Roberts was the voice of Mrs. Thompson, Doofenshmirtz's neighbor?
You know, I was guessing Betty White.
Nope.
Yeah. Doris Roberts. It was Everybody Loves Raymond's Mom.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, before Everybody Loves Raymond was a thing,
yeah,
I remember. I didn't know who she. I knew who she. I knew who she. I knew who the actress was, but I didn't know everything else she had did. She was the mother-in-law to Clark W. Griswold in Christmas Vacation. She's the redheaded mother-in-law. Oh, I've got hemorrhoids. Oh, mother. Oh, dear. She's Helen's. She's his wife's mother. In Christmas Vacation. So I'm releasing this on Christmas Day. I got to tie it to Christmas somehow.
I guess so. I
don't know.
I remember Raymond's father was the Frankenstein in Young Frankenstein.
Peter Boyle.
There you go. Yeah, it's just, I mean, that was a really good cast. It was an excellent show.
Yes, it was.
It was sad to see that leave the air. Might be dating myself there.
Not really, considering I talk about Knight Rider and A-Team all the time, so, you know, I mean, come on.
That's right, yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
And this is not the last time we will see the second dimension, because they do return in Tales of the Resistance. I forget if that's, I think that's in season 4.
Really? I don't think I've seen that one. I'm not sure if I've seen anything in season 4.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the kids are getting older at that point.
True.
So I'm not sure if we saw those. I think I've seen all of season 3, though. Like, multiple times.
Yeah.
But there was some in season 4, and then later on, you know, inevitably you get Doofenshmirtz and a spinoff.
Yep. Yeah, Tales from the Resistance will be in season 4. So.
Yep. I was just thinking of a line at the end when Doofenshmirtz comes out in a giant battle mech, you know, and it's like, holy crap, he's got a giant battle mech, and the arm comes out and he says, I've got a trick up my sleeve, and this sleeve opens up and he goes, it's me, I'm in the sleeve, mm-hmm. and number one, it's funny, it's a pun. But just recently, my son talked me into opening up a Metroplex. Yeah. So, no, it's not. Oh, no. It's an awesome figure. It's amazing. Right. But I opened up the Metroplex, And we opened it. We put the stickers on it. There was last two stickers, right? I'm like, I can't figure out where these stickers go. I mean, it looks like he's holding a gun, but I can't tell where the gun is. So the more I look at it, I notice that a huge chunk of his forearm flips over and becomes a big gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, first I got the stickers on it, right? Because that's where they went. And then I put a figure in there, the scamper. And I said, look, he's got a trick up his sleeve. It's me. I am in the sleeve.
Yeah.
So Metroplex has a sleeve cockpit with a giant cannon on it. And I don't know. My son and I have the same sense of humor, so we laughed a lot.
Yeah.
I laughed. He laughed. The toaster laughed. I shot the toaster.
Damn Decepticon toasters.
No. It was a good day.
Yes, it was a good day. So many of their big ideas used for the final battle, a lot of them. Obviously the coolest coaster ever, the Candace Crusher, which is the monster truck. The Phinadroids and Furbots. The treehouse robots, the baseball
creatures. The treehouse robots that fist bump and the birds fly.
Uh-huh.
So many good scenes.
Oh, so many. Yeah. The paper pelican, the mechanical bulls, the beak.
The beak.
Yeah, the beak suit.
Upper
the
super and bottom. Suit. Upper yep. and lower yep. sections. Yeah.
Yep. The spinning tops of doom. Yeah, there's so many on here that show up. The giant foosball server from F Games.
It's like they have a list of that, but they don't have a list of all the
Realities. I know, right? So crazy. What I like about this, the whole thing, it's just so good. It has beats for everybody. It has jokes for everybody. I love the irony that Doof 1 never lost that choo-choo, and he just gives it to Doof 2, and it's like, backstory resolving, evilness diminishing, I'm just going to go live out my life in my dimension. Oh, wait, I forgot about that whole, subjugating humanity thing.
That's right. My crimes against humanity just completely slipped my mind.
Yeah, completely slipped my mind.
I don't think that I would go back to my own dimension and not do anything. I mean, you're still in charge, right?
I don't know. I mean,
I just get tired of being Hitler all of a sudden. I think I'm just going to retire.
Other orange people have been impeached and it didn't work too, so,
Yeah.
But the people have voted. The people have spoken. Get out. what else do I like about this? I love how, so in our universe, it's the Fire Side Girls. In their universe, it's the Fire Storm Girls. I love that. I think that's cool. Isabella has probably one of the best Isabella lines ever. What do you mean suddenly fashionable? How do I dress in your dimension? Damn.
Oh, I was thinking, what you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Just the inflection there.
Just, the inflection, yeah.
Yeah, after they get mauled by jump ropes. It's just like, it's like, whoa, this is some Wonder Woman stuff going on right here. Now we get lessos of truth and bondage. And now we're all tied
See,
up.
See, folks, it's the 70s all over again.
Ah, good times. Actually, now in my other screen here, I'm looking at the list of innators that appeared, and I'm like, I don't remember there being innators in here, but yeah, there was a room full of old innators.
Oh yeah.
And I was thinking, before it's like, wow, they have all of the contraptions that they've built, all their inventions, but they didn't have any innators. But no, they had like a museum of innators that I completely forgot about. Went right over my head.
Well, they specifically had to have that because, hello, second dimension, but also because of what Carl says at the end. Oh, sir, couldn't we just use Dr. Doofenshmirtz's amnesia-nator? And our Doofenshmirtz is like, I think I'd remember if I made an amnesia-inator. Obviously, it was the other, it was the second dimension Doofenshmirtz that did that.
Oh, no, he made it and he shot himself with it, so he doesn't remember.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's true. The joke.
Oh, yeah, but still, it'd be, yeah.
I think I'd remember that. It's like, would you? Would you really? But yeah, they make a lot of references to older episodes, and they bring in a lot of old characters from older episodes, and they mention Lorenzo Lamas, which was funny.
Yeah. What are they, camel or sheep? No, he played Meep. Okay.
Exactly.
There are going to be plenty of other people to play Meep coming up later.
Really?
You don't remember Meepless in Seattle?
Was that not Lorenzo Lamas?
It was. It started out as him, but then because they have this whole the collar thing that makes him him talk.
His voice changes. Yeah.
His voice changes. Yeah. Huh. So there's going to be a bunch of other people that voice Meep coming up later. So I
wonder if guest voice actors are going to be.
I know one of them, so. I know them all, but I know one of the only reason why I know one of them all that because he gets most of the lines, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess you know he needed a job.
Well, we'll talk about it when that episode comes along, I suppose.
That's right. Oh man, how are we not gonna give this a 5?
No, you got to give it a 5+. It's like that scene in Christmas Carol where he gets an A and the teacher's just like writing A plus yeah. across the board. You know, this is kind of it's kind of like how should I put it? I mean, there's been a lot of good Phineas and Ferb episodes. I mean, that's what makes you love the series, but this does kick it up a notch. It's definitely, It is better than the sum of its parts. We'll put it that way.
What's wrong with its parts? Is it broken down now?
No. I mean, honestly, if you took all of the, you know, Phineas and Ferb episodes and you pulled out all the pieces you liked the best out of them and put them all in a big pile, even that would be as good as this. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at the list of voice actors, and Ariel Winter was Gretchen.
Yep.
Who is Gretchen? Is she a Fireside Girl?
Yeah, she's one of the Fireside Girls.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. I only know her from that one show where she was the daughter on that family show. I forget the name of it. It went off the air. I don't know. And it just tags me as funny because I remember her in Modern Family. That's what it was. And my wife and watched it like religiously for years. And pretty much just watched her grow up. She was like 11 when she started, and then she was like 21, I think, when it ended, because it was on the air forever.
When did it end?
What, Modern Family?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago?
Because according to this, she was born in 1998, so she's 22 right now.
Oh, no, here it is. It ran for 11 seasons. From September 23rd, 2009 to April 8th, 2020.
Yeah.
It ran up to this year?
Yeah.
In my defense, this year has seemed like several years.
Yeah, each month is a year.
Exactly, yeah. I know. It's about what it feels like. I didn't realize it ended this year. Yeah, 11 years. So she I think maybe she did start when she was 9 or 10. It was funny.
Probably.
Anyway, but so that shocked me when I saw that. But no, nobody else famous from.
I don't think so. It says Gray DeLisle. It says she got additional voices. It doesn't say which voices.
Got some Jeff Bennett in there. Jeff
Bennett, yep.
Isabella Murad. Fred Tatasciore.
Fred Tatasciore, yep.
Tatasciore, he's the Hulk.
Yep, he is.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of good voices, and I'm surprised they didn't list who they were though. Hmm. I hate quote unquote additional voices. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know, man. Anyway.
So yeah, obviously fives for the rating. Is there anything else we need to say about the movie? Or did we... I feel like we're not doing it justice or something. I don't know.
I still want to reference like that old review we did, because that thing was 2 hours long.
Well, it'll be in the show notes, so yeah. If people want to go listen to the when we first did Phineas and Ferb, The Second Dimension, you can go listen to that if you want, folks.
Yeah. I mean, back then we talked about, you know, the how Disney was treating the franchise. We talked about how Phineas and Ferb were showing up in Disney World as meetable characters. We talked about the tour that the production did to promote the movie.
Yep.
And they were at the New York Comic Con. They were at the San Diego Comic Con. They did a tour where they had a bus. I want to say a bus that's shaped like a platypus.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big deal back in the day. And we talked about that. I think we got really deep into the Star Wars conversation for some reason. You know, because, this is what they did with the Star Wars franchise, but this is what they could be doing with Phineas and Ferb. Mm-hmm. And then we speculated a lot about what the next movie was going to be.
Yeah.
I think we speculated a lot about what the franchise was going to do and how it had blown up in the last couple of years.
Well, yeah, because this came right around like the end of the second season, beginning of the third season kind of thing when it was airing. And looking back at it now, it's like, oh, we could talk about all that stuff back then. But now it's like the series has been over for at least when did it end? 2016, 2017, I forget. But it ended it like within the last 5 years, Phineas and Ferb went off the air. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they still show episodes, but now that we have Disney Plus, it's the entire series is on Disney Plus. Phineas and Ferb, if I wanted to, I could find a way for us to do a whole episode on Phineas and Ferb Take Two. You know, I mean, haven't figured that out yet, but but it's one of those things where everything Phineas and Ferb is on Disney Plus. From this movie to the new movie, Candace Against the Universe, to...
The Star Wars special.
The Marvel special.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So it's all there.
Yeah. No, it'll be fun to go back and watch them again.
Absolutely. Just like I had tons of fun going back and watching this again. Like, I remembered this like I just watched it yesterday, and I had not seen this.
Yeah.
I had not seen it. I actually just added the soundtrack to Spotify. So it's like I haven't done anything with Second Dimension since probably 2013. So, you know, I haven't seen it or listened to it or whatever in, 7 years or so. And it's like, I'm really enjoying this. This is fun. I'm going to add several of these songs from the soundtrack to my overall favorites playlist that I have on Spotify. My faves playlist basically has every song I ever enjoy kind of thing, and it's get like over 1,100 songs on it or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. The only downsides to it were just a little bit too much of Candace's overzealousness towards busting her brothers. And I like the juxtaposition of how Second Dimension Candace just wants to save her brothers because they grew up in, Doof Dynasty, or Doofopolis, or whatever you want to call it. Stacy kind of stands out in this one, too. Like, oh, mysterious force, here's a picture, here's flowers, here's this. Bring my friend back, please.
You know, and also, Stacy, I want a car.
Also, I want a car. Yeah. Well, it's like, we can't take points off for this, but I am that shallow that I probably would have if I hadn't realized it until now.
What?
You know who doesn't appear in this?
Mm.
To my knowledge, at least not a speaking appearance. Droopy and his wife.
Oh, that's right. No Corey Burton? Come on. He must have been busy.
Maybe, I guess, I don't know. But I'm like, we could really use, I wish I had $10 million. That's not how it works. Well, how does it work? Like, that's what we could have really used with the mysterious force.
That's right. How does it work? That's not how the force works.
That's right.
That's not how any of this works.
May the farce be with you, folks.
That's right. Back when this came, well, back when we first did our review, made a YouTube video about, don't all go watch it at once, but it was Phineas and Ferb Meet the Rancor Monster.
That's right. I remember you did that.
Yeah.
Did Disney come after you for that one?
No, actually, they didn't, surprisingly. I've actually had a couple videos removed due to copyright infringement, but this one did not get pulled, and I can't imagine why. Yeah, I posted it August 17th, 2011, so maybe that was a little bit later. But yeah, I've got some Phineas and Ferb and some, you know, Star Wars Return of the Jedi there mixed in together.
Sweet. I will probably embed it into the post so people can straight up watch it on our episode post.
Nice.
Nice. Yes.
I'll send you a link.
You already did. Behind the scenes during a live recording. Wait, we don't record these things live. I'd go out of my mind.
Heavily edited.
Yeah. It'd be heavily unedited. Wait, where did that go? Who said that comment? Who's the other voice talking in my head? Huh?
That's right.
I am so not. Like, I am one of those laser-focused people. If I'm doing one thing, that's the one task I need to do until it's done, and then I can focus on something. I cannot multitask any. I turned 40, and I lost all my multitasking.
That's funny.
It's true.
Something shiny doesn't immediately catch your attention. Like, what? Squirrel!
Yeah. Something shiny. Okay, well, you said it. Ooh! Funko Pop! The Falcon from The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Yay! Wait, I'm recording a podcast. Whoops. Hello.
Right in the middle of something right now.
That's right, yeah. But that is one thing I wish that, because Disney uses Funko for all kinds of other things, I wish there were Funko Pops of Phineas and Ferb, because...
There's not? Would,
no.
Wow.
My knowledge, yeah.
I find that shocking.
Me too.
They are ingrained in the pop culture, so...
Yes, they are. And I would find it really hilarious of how they would... make everybody's heads, because you can't just do Phineas and Ferb with the standard Funko.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so again, I'm looking at three different Funkos right now. I'm looking at the Falcon. He's a Marvel one, obviously. So with the Marvel, is it Marvel and Star Wars? Marvel and Star Wars license that Funko has, the only way they can make the pops is if the pops are bobbleheads. Whereas other ones, like the Simpsons, they're not bobbleheads, they're just a straight Funko figure. Yeah. Like, I have Comic Book Guy right here, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool. They did Comic Book Guy, and he's got a little white glove on one of his hands while he's, you know, pulling out a comic out of his thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, Doc Brown with Einstein kind of thing, and Doc has...
But they've all got little tiny body, great big head, and
true.
Kind of a squarish, kind of oblong, you know, and that's their thing, but...
And I'm wondering how they would do Phineas and Ferb, because all the heads are so different.
Triangle.
Like
what literally looks like an F.
Yeah,
your head looks like a thumb with a nose.
Yeah.
But you just showed me not too long ago they're doing Transformers now. And those do not look like squarish rounded heads.
Well, I mean, they are squarish, because Optimus Prime's chest is kind of square. But
they still have that small little body and a big head.
True.
You know, so it's still kind of Funko adjacent, but it doesn't. It looks like there's a third party trying to make Funkos, but they're still trying to make Transformers. And I think that is kind of what Phineas and Ferb would end up looking like if they did them. You know, it would small little body, big head, but it'd be a big triangle head.
Mm. Yeah, probably.
It'd be like Pyramid Head. Except without all the blood and the rust and the giant sword, you know.
Oh Lord, that's a visual I did not need.
Well, you've seen Pyramid Head, right?
No.
Oh my God. Oh, Kremen, it's from a video game, Silent Hill.
Oh, no, I was never into Silent Hill.
Oh, my God, it looks like a giant Cenobite with a pyramid for a head.
Oh, jeez.
That's awesome.
I'll take your word for it. across the second dimension. I think my favorite... And I don't know, I'm pretty sure we didn't talk about this in that episode from 9 years ago, but what I noticed watching this back was how Doofenshmirtz has built up his headquarters. Like, there's like three higher, like...
That's right.
You gotta wonder where all that roller coaster thing comes from as he's going up the thing, and I'm like, where is it? Oh, there's two taller spires, and I'm like... Ooh, I hope a plane doesn't hit those.
I'm like, yo, dog, I heard you like your headquarters, so we put a headquarters on your headquarters so you can headquarters play headquarters.
Yeah, exactly.
But the upper level of headquarters is all amusement park ride.
Yeah.
Like, that's an awful lot of room just for, you know, the amusement park ride. But then he has, like, this huge, you know, like a lair. His lair is at the top of the spire.
Yes.
Totally worth the amusement park ride.
Absolutely. And they even got an amusement park ride on the way down, too, because, you know, the hidden architecture, the things that they, the red things they slide down the building so they don't kill themselves, as we see Phineas, Ferb, and Perry flying off the building.
Yeah, because of course they have those.
Yeah, of course they have those. Again, it's a giant amusement park.
That's right. Who wouldn't want a giant? If you run the world, why not, you know, build your secret lair into an amusement park?
Mm-hmm. And of course, Linda and Lawrence are at the movies, and oh, Candace, not now! I have to see what, you know, what kind of thing she's going to do with this. You know, if she's going to accept this. And then the robots come in.
Then the robot. That's right. Yeah. And she's fighting these robots while she does it.
Exactly. Oh, the Normbots. I love the... It's muffin time, sir. Quiet, you. You're broken.
It's muffin time. I got muffins.
Yeah, I really do wonder if that's his... If that's him putting on a voice, the voice actor that does Norm, or if that's his actual voice, because I gotta find a way for us to interview that guy, because I want to talk to Norm all the time. Well, I love Norm.
I want to say there is a scene that was cut that had Vanessa.
Yeah, there was several deleted scenes that had Vanessa, sadly, that got cut.
I mean, because, you know, that's really what puts most episodes over the top for me into, you know, from 4 stars to 5 stars is, you know, whenever Vanessa sings.
True.
She should have sang. Okay, that's it. 4. This one gets a 4.
You can't go back on it now. You already gave a 5. And honestly, I understand why she was cut. Maybe she was cut for time or whatever. Just like how Candace's song got cut.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is not just as good as it's going to get. It is perfect the way it is. As I already said earlier, outside of my little own, you know, issues with Candace going too far at times. Other than that, the whole movie, the way it is, is more than fine.
It's paced so well that if you added another song somewhere, if you slowed down the pace, it'd be detrimental, honestly.
Yep.
Sadly, even if it was a Vanessa song.
Yes, well, you know, we can all have that Christmas feeling because it's Christmas time and Vanessa does a Christmas song on Christmas Vacation. So there you go. All right.
We'll play that at the end to soothe our nerves, you know.
No, I'll just send you the link. It's so funny. We can talk about this off air, but I had 5 years ago, I made this playlist back when I was using iTunes called Christmas Outside the Box.
Mm-hmm.
And I put every unconventional comedy Christmas song that I absolutely loved on this thing. And I had it be at times ironic, where songs would like toy sack from Bob Rivers and Twisted Radio, which is obviously a parody of Love Shack by the Beach Boys. That comes so right. What?
I thought you were going to say Love Sack.
I almost said Love Sack.
Oh my gosh.
But no.
I'm going to be on the floor.
Man, you've really been working on your spit takes, haven't you? I have that song listed like right before Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer or something or whatever.
That's a classic, though.
Well, obviously. But I recreated that playlist, and every time I go and I look at the Christmas Vacation soundtrack from Phineas and Ferb, because there are a lot of good Phineas and Ferb Christmas songs on that, and one of them is, you know, that Christmas Feeling by Vanessa. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's always in my Christmas playlist.
Nice.
Okay, I think we're about done. I think the Perry the Platterboard popcorn chicken has cooked long enough here.
That's right. He's got a corn comedy chant.
I was kind of wondering how they were going to get the popcorn chicken joke, and I'm like, oh, what? No, don't
popcorn
put the...
and chicken.
don't put the corn in his hand.
That was too funny.
Poor Perry the Platterboard.
Exactly.
But you can't say boy board five times fast. Oh, wait, you can. Don't.
Platterboard. boy board. I can't.
Oh, God. So funny. So funny.
Actually, when I look around, I'm really embarrassed. Here, let me clean this up. Look, self-destruct button. Are you? Yeah. Here we go.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed.
Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megachon and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right, we're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the Feeny call.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format. And if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and... then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, fine, but how are we
probably going to find chaps our size.
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Man, this has been the greatest day ever. Imagine how much fun we can have together now that we know you're a secret agent.
Yes, yes, the next 15 minutes should be a real hoot. Then, of course, Agent P will be sent away forever.
What?
You didn't know? Didn't he give you a pamphlet?
We threw it away.
Does anyone read those things?
I tried to warn you, sir.
Kids, I'm sorry, but now that Agent P's cover has been blown, you won't be allowed to see him anymore.
That's why you didn't want us to know your secret. So we'll never see Perry again? There has to be another way.
Sorry, Phineas, it isn't safe. You know too much.
Now I never wished so much that I could unknow something.
Sir, maybe there is a way. What about Dr. Doofenshmirtz's amnesianator?
I never built an amnesianator. I think I'd remember building something like that.
Well, that might work, but you'd all have to agree.
So our choice is to either forget the best day ever, forget the biggest adventure we've ever had, and forget meeting Agent P, or remember today, but never see Perry again?
Well, we've had a lot of great days, but we only have one Perry.
Agreed.
Yeah!
All right, everybody. Tall kids in the back. Just need to do a little more programming here, and we'll be ready to roll.
Hey, buddy. Ferb and I just wanted to say our goodbyes. You know, we thought we'd finally met the real you when we found out you were Agent P. But the fact is, Pat, Secret Agent, they're both the real you. You are now, and always have been, a great pet. And a great friend. We're gonna miss you, Agent P. I love you, pal.
Sir, are you crying?
No, I'm sweating through my eyes.
Okay, sir. We're ready.
Okay, Carl. We're set.
Major Monogram?
Yes?
So none of us will remember any of today?
That's right.
Good.
Isabella!
Hit it, Carl!
Wait!
All right. Thank you for joining us here on the podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym. There are several ways to get in contact with us. Leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I'm fairly certain we don't have any new iTunes reviews. Maybe after I release this episode, maybe people will come yell at us or me or whatever. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at TFG and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter?
I'm still at PeconCT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on Phineas and Ferb Interrupted, A Real Boy, Mommy, Can You Hear Me? And then we're going to go on a road trip. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Taking care of things.
You have so many perfect days, but only one Perry.
True. Somehow they're going to find those damn photos, though. I mean, he didn't delete them.
He'd save them.
That's right.
That'll be a sequel for later.
Phineas and Ferb across the third dimension. Seriously, why haven't they made that movie yet?
You know, with the series over?
Well, no, so obviously. True. I mean, you know, maybe they can, you know, join Milo Murphy and make a third, fourth dimension film.
I hate to say it, I mean, especially with Weird Al involved, but I don't like Milo Murphy. I'm just not a fan. I can't. It's supposed to be the same area. It's very similar writing. It's just not meshing with me. And the fact that, you know, they had Doofenshmirtz in it. I saw him at least once.
The video game montage included in this broadcast was confiscated from members of the Resistance and is now the sole property of Heinz Doofenshmirtz, who owns everything in all dimensions in perpetuity. Because he says so.
Hello, this is your Supreme Leader with a message for the indentured servants, citizens of the Tri-State area. It has come to my attention that people have been traveling to other dimensions, which is strictly forbidden, as is making noise on any day other than Doofens Day. Yeah, precisely, like what they were doing. So, you may not go to the gelatin dimension and defeat a gelatin monster using a baseball launcher, an anti-gravity ray, or a ninja glove. I forbid it. As for the balloon dimension, old-timey world, and the lawn gnome land, forget about it. If you go to these places, my evil forces will pursue you. And don't underestimate the power of an evil porcupine in the balloon dimension. You know what? Actually, underestimate them. Go ahead. Underestimate them. Make my evil porcupine's day. Now, on to public enemies number 1, 2, 3, and 4 in no particular order. That boy, what's his name? He's doomed. The quiet one, doomed. Curse you, Perry the Platypus, you're doomed. Doomed! Doomed! Wait a minute, who's this? Another secret agent nemesis? Where do you get all these hats? What, do you own a fedora factory? I doom you! I doom all of you! Oh, would you look at the time? It's 3:30, the end of our broadcast day. Now go to bed before I doom you!
Phineas and Ferb, Across the Second Dimension, the video game. Dr. Doofenshmirtz forbids you to play it this August 2011.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
If you're looking for fun, baby, we're a shoo-in. But we're a little young to be doing what we're doing, yeah. We can do anything, we can go anywhere. We got our pockets full of rockets and we're loaded for bear, oh yeah. Not talking about a mundane day of the week. This ain't Double Dutch, pick the game. So get yourself a platypus and a game guitar. Cause if you think the summer's been great so far, just watch. We'll kick it up a notch. It's just what we're gonna do. Take it up a level or two. Yeah, I know where we're gonna go. Cause everybody knows summer rocks, but now we're ready to roll. We can do anything we set our minds to. We got heads full of dreams and sneakers full of feet. The world is our oyster and life is tasted sweet. We're taking off like we're in a supersonic jet. But if you think we're gonna fly as high as we can get, just watch. We're gonna kick it up a notch. Oh man, you know it's true. We're gonna push on through. We're not content to go in the flow. Cause everybody knows summer rocks, but now we're ready to roll. Alright, Slash, let's roll. We'll be right back.
Everybody knows summer rocks, but now we're ready to roll.